Welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're talking with Dr. Doug Newton and Dr. Kimberly McClanahan. Thank you both so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Indeed.
I wanted to talk a little bit about a grant that the local Pathways organization has received. But Dr. McClanahan, tell me a little bit about what your organization does to get started, because not everybody is familiar with what Pathways offers for the community.
That is absolutely correct, and I would be happy to do so. Pathways is a community mental health center, and it serves 10 counties here in northeastern Kentucky, including Boyd, Bath, Carter, Elliott, Greenup, Lawrence, Menifee, Montgomery, Morgan, and Rowan. And, of course, Rowan is actually in the middle of our catchment area. And we have been in business now for over 50 years, providing mental health, addiction, intellectual and developmental disability, and prevention services to citizens in those 10 counties. So as you might guess, it's a very large geographic area. It's mostly very rural. So the notion of getting from point A to point B is sometimes very difficult, particularly in a world where behavioral health practitioners are much in need, and we have a workforce shortage.
I feel like one of the issues, especially, and this may be a nationwide issue, but it's particularly I see it in Appalachia, where it's difficult for people to get past that stigma that's attached to having a mental health issue that needs to be addressed. And so, unfortunately, facilities such as yours, it seems like they get spread pretty thin, even across 10 counties. That seems like a big geographical area to cover.
Yes, it is, and certainly stigma continues to be an issue. I think we've made more progress on the mental health side of that as opposed to the addiction side. There's still a lot of stigma around addiction and the understanding of it as a choice versus a disease process that begins. And you know, even though we have outpatient offices in all of our 10 counties, there's clearly issues around getting from one to the other, and those can be very difficult when you don't have transportation. We see a lot of seriously mentally ill people who may not be able to work, and of course they have children who also often have issues that we may see in schools and that sort of thing, but it is still a stigma. But we are working hard every day with our public relations folks to decrease that stigma around mental health and addiction, because we believe that, you know, the person is a whole person, and mind and body go together, and when they both need to be working.
Absolutely. Dr. Newton, could you tell us a little bit about what your organization does?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just a quick moment, I just want to echo everything that, you know, that was said. I mean, there's just such a need here, and so we're so happy to be able to partner with Dr. McClanahan and her team at Pathways. What United Health Foundation does is it really works to enhance the well-being of our communities and to improve the health system, again, through a collaboration with community partners. The foundation was established by the United Health Group back in 1999, and it's a nonprofit private foundation, and it's dedicated to, you know, improving health and health care.
Now, this particular grant that Pathways was awarded, I know that it's specifically to help mental health care of Eastern Kentucky children. Was that part of the stipulations of the application process?
Well, you know, what happened was is that there was a lot of, again, sort of requests for proposals that went out, and what we knew and what, again, data shows is that there's just such a great need within Eastern Kentucky and within the counties that were just mentioned. And so Pathways really did, a fantastic job of being able to, again, both present the problem but also come up with, you know, some unique solutions, and really was found to be a good partner in that. Because one of the things that we know is that there's just really a high rate of mental and emotional distress in that particular area of the country, and in particular that area of your state or commonwealth. And for instance, there's 25% increase in teen suicides, you know, since 2016. And so we know that that is a huge driver, obviously, of not only concern, but again, of that need that we think that this sort of a system and this sort of virtual support and direct care can actually provide, and hopefully start bending that really deleterious and really concerning, data and curve. And so we want to partner with folks that are actually able to start delving into this further and allowing there to be more supports, you know, for the communities and for those individual members that and folks that are in need.
Now, I know that a lot of times when people are applying for grants, there's like a group of monies that's available, but it doesn't necessarily all go to one entity. Pathways got $930,000, which is an amazing gift to give the organization. Are there other organizations across that applied throughout the country that received similar grants?
Well, so United Health Foundation actually has a number of grants that they, you know, and again, we don't have to get into necessarily details here, but suffice to say there are a number of projects and throughout a number of states to not only on the medical side, but definitely on the mental health side to actually, again, promote health and wellness. So, yeah, it is really the charge and the mission of the United Health Foundation to be able to partner with and then provide support in really key areas of healthcare provision and, again, sort of keeping in mind resiliency and wellness.
Now, Dr. McClanahan, can you tell us a little bit about the process of applying for this grant? I mean, a lot of people think when you apply for something, it's like you go online and you fill out an application, but really this sort of program application probably had a lot more depth to it.
In some ways, it was probably a little easier than trying to get a federal grant, but there was a lot of discussion ahead of time regarding, what we wanted to do, actually coming up with a project that would be of interest to the foundation. This is my understanding, and I assume it's still true, but I'm not for certain, but this is the first grant that they've actually offered to the Commonwealth of Kentucky, so we were very excited about that. And, of course, it did go through a vetting process through their board of directors, and we did have to, you know, cross all of our T's and dot all of our I's around how we were going to serve children and families, how we were going to be setting up the telehealth equipment, and how that was going to be working, and which we have already begun to do and are pretty excited about.
Dr. Newton, is there any concern with using the telehealth kind of method? I know that sometimes people feel that these services are better in person, or is that something that you guys haven't really looked at?
Well, you know, it's a great question, actually, and it's actually a question that's been, you know, put out there in many different ways and looked at it in, you know, many different directions. You know, there are certain patients or patient populations that sometimes it can be more difficult to provide this type of, you know, care or care delivery mechanism. But for the most part, and again, there's evidence to support this, we know that it's a highly, highly successful way of being able to reach, again, those patients that, you know, otherwise would not get care. And so It both through kind of, again, an individual basis, you know, from the patient to the provider, that's been looked at in many ways with regards to, again, studies out there. And they know that there's a lot of support, again, in the literature behind that, but also just through experience that this can be a highly successful way of gaining access, decreasing stigma, and providing the right care at the right time at the right place, which, again, is a hallmark to, again, the way even the federal government approaches this. So the fact that we're able to partner with Pathways on this is really exciting. And just on a sort of my own experience level as a practicing child psychiatrist, especially in the past, we not only did this with you know, kids and their families in kind of rural areas, but even back when I was in training many years ago now, we actually used this in the VA system. And again, I was a little further north in Appalachia. I was up towards the up in Vermont, and there were many folks out there that just simply could not travel, and so we were able to provide, you know, good clinical services, you know, remotely and with embedded teams and other clinics to really have kind of a hub and spoke system, and it was quite successful. So I would have no doubt that it'll be just as successful, if not more so, as, you know, we learned over the years, you know, how to and what to provide, again, to those patients in need.
Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously the equipment is much improved as time goes on, and as we're focusing on children and families, you know, that most kids these days are very, very comfortable with technology, and some folks would prefer not to be in the same room with somebody, but as Dr. Newton says, there are also some folks that we would not want to do telehealth with for a variety of reasons.
So really you have to just evaluate on a case-by-case basis.
Yes, absolutely. And we are, interesting, since you're in Moorhead, we are now doing 1.5 days a week of telehealth in Moorhead, and our prescribers actually in Greenup County, and we'll be doing the prescribing services to consumers at our Moorhead outpatient office. So we're pretty excited about how it's going so far.
That is really fantastic. I definitely want to hear more about that, but first we're going to take a really quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
The Kraft Academy for Excellence in Science and Mathematics at Moorhead State University is a dual-credit residential high school program for select juniors and seniors. Students engage in specialized research projects guided by MSU faculty with a focus on innovation, design, creativity, civic, and regional engagement. Tuition, housing, and meals are provided at no cost. Major in you at Moorhead State University. Apply online at moorheadstate.edu/craft-academy.
Hi, and welcome to Open Mic here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're talking with Dr. Doug Newton and Dr. Kimberly McClanahan. Thank you both so much for being on the show. Dr. McClanahan, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about implementation of this grant. When you write a grant, I know a lot of people aren't really familiar with the grant writing process, and I myself am just learning, and I know that you kind of have to say, okay, this is what we want to do with the money, and this is how we want to use it if we are to be awarded. So you guys got this grant just a little while back, but you're already starting to implement the things that you wanted to do with it. Tell me a little bit more about what you said about here in Moorhead, the service that you're able to offer already because of this grant.
Right. We are starting at this point. I mean, we've already started, but we're increasing our services there to our Moorhead Pathways outpatient office to 1.5 days a week, where our prescriber will actually be in Greenup County, but doing prescriptions for child consumers in Moorhead. We are, you know, this is a wonderful thing for so many reasons, because not only are, you know, prescribers are also not easy to come by, so it's great that when we don't have to have somebody on the road for 2.5 hours of driving when they can be doing telehealth or telemedicine. We hope as we continue to get everything wired, that we will be providing these services in all 10 of our counties at 16 different facilities. And not only prescribing services, but also specialized services like for children with eating disorders or if there are other kinds of issues. We have an autism center in Ashland, and we have a child psychiatrist there who would be able to do telemedicine or telehealth with children in other counties as well.
Oh, no, that's something that I would be interested in learning more about because there's I have a family member who has autism, so it would be, and I know how difficult it is for them to travel. So something that would, a telehealth ability to do that would make their life a lot easier than going to specialists in different cities. I know that that would be definitely something that they would be interested in. I wanted to ask you, Dr. Newton, is the... I guess, do you see a similar issue in all different regions of there's just not enough practitioners to go around? Is that something that you, as far as with mental health care?
Yeah, no, again, great questions. Absolutely. I mean, that's the short answer. Although we know that there's certain areas of the country that have more shortages than others, this is a national problem. Quite frankly, it's a global problem. If you look at, you know, even expanding the South, we know that, again, mental health is a huge, you know, part of what actually drives physical illness as well. And so even the World Health Organization has called that out many times over and looking at what an impact, you know, good mental health can have actually on physical health. What in specifically in this country, we're not even training enough, for instance, child psychiatrists to meet the demand, let alone actually having them deployed in the field. Same goes for good therapists, right? We know that the demand is going to be further outstripping supply in the next, you know, number of years. There was a study that showed that by 2035, there'll be a total shortage of about 40,000 psychiatrists in this country. And simply, you know, going with the same models it's just not going to meet the needs of our, you know, of our nation.
I agree, absolutely.
It's definitely a problem. I just recently did a show with a couple of nurse practitioners, who one that does kind of a general family nurse practitioner health, and one that is more specific with mental health, and some legislation that they're trying to change here in Frankfort, in Kentucky, about how they can prescribe and the different services that they're able to offer because of the shortage. So I know a lot of people are talking about the issue. Dr. McClanahan, is this grant going to help you guys hire more people, or exactly what are you going to use the money for?
Well, and of course the money is specifically earmarked for different things. Some of that is the actual equipment to get us upgraded and going. Some of that is salary money, but we're not necessarily looking at expanding the workforce particularly, except through the fact that we'll be able to use the workforce more efficiently with telehealth. The example I was giving earlier was that we have a prescriber who, if he drives from his home to Moorhead, it's 2.5 hours of driving per day. If he can stay closer to his home in one of our offices on the eastern end of our catchment area, then he can do 2.5 more hours of services instead of being in his car. So a big part of what we're hoping to do is to utilize our workforce more effectively and more efficiently and in that way.
Is there anything that you think that's important to try to make it more socially acceptable to seek out these kind of treatments?
I'm wondering, I mean, I'm happy to sort of chime in on this, but I definitely want to hear from Dr. McClanahan because, again, it's so important that we just simply have these conversations. I mean, the fact that you're having this radio show, that we're actually able to outreach people and, you know, directly to your listeners, if you or somebody you know or love is struggling, you know, help yourself, help them. There is help out there. We know that even though, again, we talk about shortages, doesn't mean that there's nothing. We know that, again, through building out networks like this, we know that there's good evidence to show that once you get in, you can actually have a lot of impact, again, not only on your mental health, but your physical health. And it's so important to you and those around you that if you're needing help, to please come in, to call, to seek out help. It just simply starts with awareness. And, you know, and really just, you know, bringing it out of the shadows, which is in many ways exciting, that in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of work around anti-stigma and making sure that people are aware that help is available. So, again, appreciate even being on this radio show. So, Dr. McClanahan.
I believe that, you know, cultural competency, I guess, to coin a phrase, is very important. In any part of the world, but certainly when you're in Appalachia and families may be particularly reluctant to go for services because of their own familial or religious beliefs, that we spend a lot of time in outreach. And when we are doing our outreach, and we'll often ask the question, you know, would you call the doctor if you had the flu? Of course, some people wouldn't, but in general, people kind of get the point that, you know, we are a whole person. And as Dr. Newton has said earlier, you know, all of this works together. Stress can kill. Depression is, you know, what, 2 or 3% of the population at any given time. And we have, of course, as you know, an overwhelming drug epidemic in this part of the state and of course, across the country. So we do a lot of trying to make people aware that it is okay to walk into the office. It should be no different than going into your primary care doc That's how we kind of go with it, and I think we've done a much better job, and probably Pathways itself has done a much better job of promoting mental health and in the last 4 or 5 years than in years past. So it is just so important that we get out there and let people know that it is the state of humanity. We have issues. We have problems. And it's okay to seek help.
And just since we're talking about outreach, we've just got a few more moments here on the show. I wanted to see if you could give this information. If someone that a listener or one of their loved ones is having a mental health issue or crisis, how do they get in touch with you guys to see if you guys can help out with the care that you're providing?
Okay. I've just got to go to our website because I've got a couple of phone numbers for you. There you go. So we have a centralized access center, and if you're in Kentucky, you can call 606-324-1141, or there's an 800 number for Kentucky, which is 800-562-8909. You can always go to our website. There is a place there where you can do live chat, and that website is www.pathways-ky.org, just that easy. We have our emergency crisis line. We have 24/7 crisis services. We have mobile crisis services where our folks go out any time of the day or night, 24/7, to hospitals and different places to actually help with crises. We have an adult and a children's crisis center. The adult one is in Ashland. The children's is in Moorhead. And we have a number of residential facilities for folks with substance use as well. So if you get on the website, you can learn a lot about that, but feel free to call or do a live chat on the website.
Well, I really appreciate you both being on the show today. It's been wonderful to learn about this this wonderful grant and this the great programs that you guys have through Pathways. So, Dr. Doug Newton and Dr. Kimberly McClanahan, once again, thanks for being on the show, and we'll see the rest of you next Friday.